Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Lori. I'm one of the pastors here. And we plan our sermon series well in advance, as you probably know. And there's been a handful of times over the years that events happen in this world that leave the message that we were and are still planning to do just all the more relevant and timely. We're in week two of our sermon series called Created for Connection, and we're going to be talking today, through God's sovereignty, I believe, not coincidence, about the painful times when forgiving is hard. I have this weighted vest that I like to wear when I walk. I don't actually like to wear it, but I wear it, if you know what I mean. I feel like I've had that weighted vest on the last several days, and I know that I'm not alone. And so what do we do? What do we do with the heaviness that we feel with the evil happening in this world all around us every day? Certainly, it's appropriate to lament, and I think it's also really important for us to look at the words of Jesus. And as I spent some time this week, I was reminded of his words and what he taught his disciples to pray. He says, when you pray, pray that my kingdom will come and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what does that mean? Jesus talked about that often. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, those are one and the same. We can experience heaven, at least a taste of it now, when we carry out God's will and his way here on earth. And when we embody the values of his, that's what it means to bring heaven to earth. And so that's our call. God is holy and good. Our call is not to forgive God. Our call is to trust God. And so today, I think our call, as it is every day, is to usher in the kingdom of heaven. And every time we gather, we do this. And so we're going to do the same thing. We're going to go to God's living, lasting, and life-changing word together. And we're going to look to Jesus for hope. I was sitting in my family room yesterday and was just praying to God, like, whoa, it's heavy. Like, I just need an inner strength, you know? And I thought, that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. And so I want to just offer a prayer over us this morning. And it's actually the words of Paul from the book of Ephesians. It's a prayer that he prayed for the Ephesian church. And so would you just join me in prayer and allow me to pray this over you and I as we start together? The word of God. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of God. And may we, Lord, with each seemingly small act of love and justice and mercy, by your power of your Spirit, usher in heaven here on earth. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I want to start us off with a question today. I wonder, when's the last time you've asked this? Now, don't go elbowing someone sitting next to you, but really, when's the last time you've asked the question, will you forgive me? C.S. Lewis wrote these words, "Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." Forgiveness. What rises up in you when you hear that word? What kind of feels? Maybe for some of us, there's feelings of just deep appreciation for the forgiveness that we've received from someone. And maybe for others of you, feelings of bitterness and anger rise up because you're having a really hard time forgiving him or her. A colleague took credit for your work. A friend who you confided in betrayed your trust and told another friend. Your spouse broke a promise and has left you in deep pain. I want you to know that I'm in the midst of doing some hard soul work right now of forgiveness myself. And they're not asking for forgiveness, so that makes it extra fun, right? I'm doing the hard work of forgiveness because I know it's the thing to do. And I think you can relate to this, that it seems that the harder or the deeper the wound, the deeper the offense, the longer the process of forgiveness takes. Have you felt that? Lisa Turkhurst, a Bible teacher and author, says this, "Our decision to forgive happens in a marked moment, but there's also the process of forgiving the impact the offense has had on you for years to come." And I think that's where I'm at in my forgiveness journey. I've forgiven the person. It's just that the consequences, the repercussions, the reminders of the pain that's been caused oftentimes has me feeling really sad and sometimes overwhelmed and sometimes angry and misunderstood and betrayed and robbed. And before this starts to feel like a therapy session, I'll just stop there. You're following me, right? It's forgiveness. And so today I want to get at that. We're going to be looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 18, starting at verse 21. And what we're going to find is Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, is, I get the impression, kind of wrestling with forgiveness. It's not that Jesus hasn't preached on it before. He gets that he should forgive. These are Jesus' words. But he's also really kind of struggling with the fact, like, yeah, I know I shouldn't hold a grudge. I know I shouldn't be resentful. But, like, how many times do I need to forgive, really? Verse 21. "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" We kind of get the impression here that Peter feels pretty generous about, like, how many times should I forgive God? Like, seven times? And so it has me kind of wondering if there's something deeper going on with Peter. And I think it's something that we can relate to, especially when we have someone who has repeatedly caused us wounds or offense. Like, at what point do you say enough already? At what point do you hold someone accountable and not keep showing mercy? Where does justice come in? How do you maintain a relationship with someone who continues to cause damage to the relationship? And should you even do that? And as if Jesus' answer isn't generous enough, like, no, Peter. Like, not seven times, but 77 times. He launches into this wildly unreasonable parable to help Peter and to help us understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. 10,000 bags of gold. Okay, this feels big, even to us, right? Us modern day readers. This would have been a shock to Jesus' audience. One commentary actually talks about this and says that the amount that is mentioned here, talents, that is translated as bags of gold, would likely be the amount more than what's in circulation in a petty kingdom in Jesus' day. And he follows it with these words, indeed, perhaps the only reason the figure is not placed even higher is that the term translated bags of gold here was the largest currency available, and 10,000 was the largest numerical designation in Greek. The reason I share that with you is because I don't want us to miss something really important. I don't want us to miss how massive and impossible this debt was to pay back. Let's keep reading. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. I want to hear everybody say, whoa, like, whoa, that's huge. He had an insurmountable, crushing, impossible to pay back debt, and it's wiped clean. This is life-changing for this man. Let's continue. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. This would have been maybe a millionth of what he owed the king. He grabbed him, began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I'll pay it back." But he refused. And instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay off the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart, Jesus said. So that's what Jesus is getting at here. This isn't about checking a box 7 times or even 77 times. This is about checking the posture of our heart. Imagine, Joe, you're at Target and someone hits their cart into your cart. Pretty easy to forgive, right? But what happens when someone causes you irreversible damage? It's different, right? And so what I want to get at today is just get really practical and talk about how we can reflect the heart of God in the way that we seek and grant forgiveness. That's what we're going to get at today. And so I want to preface that with the fact that there may be a few of us in this space today that maybe are a little uncomfortable at this point, maybe even squirming in your seat a little bit because you're like, oh man, we're in a series on connection and where is this going? Because I don't know. I don't know if I can forgive. I don't know if I can reconnect. I just don't know if I'm there yet. And I just want to say, I see you. And I just want to raise the question, after I share with you, like, forgiveness is not necessarily reconnection. Yes, it's God's heart, but it does not always mean reconnection or reconciliation. That is not always safe to do. What I want to pose to us is what's at stake if we don't forgive, if we don't heal. How will that impact our own personal health, physically, emotionally? How might not forgiving, not healing, impact others around us? And so wherever you are today, there's no shame, there's no pressure. I just want to encourage you to lean in and consider that. And while we're at it, speaking that, you know, forgiveness is not necessarily always reconciliation because it's not safe, here's a couple other things that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not the decision to forget or pretend it didn't occur. It's not excusing a person for what they did or minimizing harmful behavior. It's not being weak or passive. It's not surrendering our right to justice. And it's not automatically trusting the person again. I think Peter's question is so relevant for us today. How many times do I need to forgive? Really taps into how hard forgiveness is. Sometimes it's hard because it's been repeated. Other times it's hard because it feels like we're giving up control. And we like control, right? It's hard because it costs us our right to demand payment. Romans 12 talks about this. It says, leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, I will avenge. It is mine to repay, says the Lord. Forgiveness can be hard because it costs us our comfort. Oh man, can we just get real for a second? Sometimes it just feels more comfortable. It just feels better sometimes to hold on to anger. It costs us our comfort. It's hard because there's been no apology or a weak apology. Here's what I mean by weak apology. Sorry this has caused this. What even is that? Sorry, but you. Sorry, you feel that way. Sorry for whatever I did wrong. Like, I'm in the doghouse and I don't even know why. My husband, Dennis, and I just celebrated our 31st anniversary. And just to keep it real, seeking and granting forgiveness has been a growth area in our marriage. And I can tend to just get over it and just, especially when it's my fault, and be like, oh, I'm over it, you should be too, which isn't great. And Dennis, he's used a few of these bad apologies up here, and that's all I'm gonna say, because he's in Africa and he can't defend himself here today, all right? Oh, man. So how do we then seek forgiveness? I wanna get at that by looking at scripture once again. I wanna look at the story of King David. If you're familiar with the story, it's in 2 Samuel, chapters 11 and 12. And it's here that King David is on his rooftop, it says. And he sees over his city this beautiful woman named Bathsheba, and he has her brought to him. He sleeps with her. Her husband, Uriah, who's off to war fighting for them, returns. David sends him back out to the front lines to be killed. I'm leaving out a lot of details here. You can read all about it in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. But the point is, God pursued David and sent a prophet named Nathan. And Nathan masterfully approached David with this very fictitious and unjust story. And by the end, David was burning with anger to the point where he says, this man must die. And Nathan responded, you are the man. And David said, I've sinned against the Lord. He was broken, broken. And it's out of this brokenness that David experienced that we now have what we know as Psalm 51. And I want to look at just a few of those verses with you today because I think it gives us a great framework for a strong, restorative apology. So let's read what his response was to God in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 16, you do not delight in sacrifice or I'd bring it. And you don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. What we see in this, all of Psalm 51 is four, I think, essential pieces to a restorative apology. And I want to take a look at those with you. The first is to name it. Name it. Acknowledge what you did. David doesn't minimize his actions. He names it. Name it, own it. Take responsibility. No buts, no blaming. David says, against you and you only have I sinned. And then the next is feel it. Acknowledge the hurt. He realizes that he has hurt relationship, and in particular, he's hurt and damaged his relationship with God. And the last is repair it. Commit to making amends. David doesn't just apologize and feel bad. He actually is working actively to change his ways and restore that relationship. Name it, own it, feel it, repair it. I want to give you an example of what this looks like in our marriage. A couple of months ago, we were on vacation, and we had had this amazing day at the pool, so much fun. And as we were walking back to our room, there was this huge chair. You know the kind, right, that you can put like three adults in? And so you got to get a picture, right? And so we were walking by it, and I'm like, hey, let's get a picture of the two of us in this chair. And Denny was like, no, I don't really want to. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure my face looked just like that. Like, oh, rude. And so we went on, but I just thought, wow, we had such a good day. What's up with that, right? We were starting to get ready for dinner, and I was sitting out on the balcony, and he came out. And this is far before I had this message prepared, by the way, but he came out and he named it, he owned it, he felt it, and he repaired it. He's like, hey, I'm really sorry that I didn't get that picture with you. Like, I know it was important to you. I know you love me, you love us, and I know that it hurt your feelings, and I'm sorry. I was like putty in his hands, like mush. It was like the best apology ever. And then on the way to dinner, we were walking along and he's like, hey, about that picture. And I'm like, yeah, we're good, we're good. And he's like, no, 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 no. You just wanted that for our funeral, didn't you? I was like, yes, it would have been a great funeral picture. What can I say? Oh my goodness. I share that story with you because that's little. But what's important for us to remember is whether it's a little mistake or a big one, when we work towards each other in reconciliation and give an apology like that, it brings reconnection and restoration back to the relationship. And that's so very important, especially in the days we live in. And Jesus modeled this for us. Jesus modeled what it looks like to forgive someone when it's hard. That's the gospel. And I think what's so stunning about the gospel, which means the good news of Jesus, is that Jesus gave the most generous forgiveness to us. When he had far from even a weak apology, he was being mocked and spit on and beaten. The emotional pain he was feeling from betrayal and abandonment and rejection, and he was put on a cross to pay the debt of our sin. That is insurmountable, crushing, impossible to pay back. And in his anguish, he, on the cross, said the most loving and freeing words, "Father, forgive them." The cost of our forgiveness is the very blood of Jesus Christ. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. This is the heart of God toward every human being. Aren't you grateful for that? I want to share a story with you from Lisa Turkhurst. If you're familiar with her story, she shares it in her book and many of her teachings about a time when she was really struggling in her marriage. She had a ton of pain going on. And it was a morning where she needed to get up and go to the counselor. And she shares this out of such pain that she was in such a deep depression, could hardly get out of bed, but she mustered her way up, got in the car, and as she's driving along, she realizes, like, she sees herself kind of in the rearview mirror and like, oh my gosh, I haven't washed my hair in over a week. And she gets to the counselor office, and as she parks, it hits her, like, I didn't even put deodorant on. But she's a resourceful gal, and so she goes into the counselor's office, and she musters around and sees what she can find in the cupboard, and she finds a peach air freshener. And she thought, that'll do. And so she put on the peach air freshener, and she went marching into Jim, her counselor's office, smelling like a freshly baked peach cobbler. And Jim said, how are you doing? And she said, not good, not good at all. I can hardly get out of bed. I'm in so much pain. And he said, I think today is a good day for us to work on forgiveness. And she said, are you high? I just told you how much I'm hurting, and you want to talk about forgiveness? And he asked this really powerful question. He said, Lisa, do you want to heal? And she said, yes, I want to heal. I need to heal. And so he said, how about we start with your pain? Oh, that'll be easy, she said. I'm so heavy with it. And so he gave her the stack of index card and said, I want you just to write down everything you're holding on to, everything that's hurt you on an index card. And before you know it, the entire office floor was just covered in index cards. And she thought, no wonder I feel so heavy. And what they did next was he gave her a stack of red pieces of felt. And one by one, she was to take these red pieces of felt and put them over the offense, the wound, and say, I forgive you. And so he said, before we do this, I want you to know, I believe you. And if no one else in this world says, I'm sorry, hear it from me. I am so sorry this has happened to you. You see, she had been waiting for an apology. You might be waiting for an apology. I am waiting for an apology. We may never get an apology. She may never get an apology. But she realized it was holding back her healing. And so, one by one, she took the red piece of felt and she put it over the offense and said, I forgive Art, her husband, for this. And whatever my feelings don't yet allow for, the blood of Jesus will surely cover. And she went on to the next one and put it on the next one and said, I forgive Art for this, and what my feelings don't yet allow for, the blood of Jesus will surely cover. This was a marked moment for her to begin to heal. It was a moment of freeing. It was going to be a process, but it marked a moment for her. It was a decision, and it was a freeing one. On your way in, you received a card, hopefully. We're giving these away during this series to talk about next steps and give you some tangible ways to take this into your week. And so I want to review these with you. The first is this, depending on where you are in your journey, maybe it's just this, acknowledge what happened, name it. Whether it's happened to you or it's something you need to seek forgiveness for, ask, what is holding on to this costing me, really? And at the right time, choose to heal. Friends, our decision to forgive doesn't happen by our determination. It happens in cooperation with God. We are actually joining Him in the work of reconciliation when we forgive. And so may we, with the same measure that God has extended forgiveness to us, may that forgiveness fuel our own. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you tell us in your word to forgive as we've been forgiven. And that's so much easier said than done. And so God, we ask and we need your help. To be good news in this world, we know we need to be conduits of your forgiveness. And so by your Spirit, would you help us do that? Would the forgiveness that you have granted us, may it fuel our forgiveness for others. Give us grace, give us your mercy, and may we, in each act of leaning in and reconnecting, usher in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.